Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a fun one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Michael Lennox, and he is with ATL Family Meal. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about ATL Family Meal. I've heard the phrase family meal. How does that relate to what you're up to?
Yeah, so ATL Family Meal is a relatively new nonprofit that I helped form in March, right when the COVID crisis was picking up speed here in Atlanta. We are principally from the restaurant business, and our mission is to feed, nourish, and support hospitality workers who are experiencing joblessness and food insecurity here in the metro Atlanta area. We started by producing meals out of our restaurants and partnering with Zifty, the local meal delivery company, and Lyft, and delivering meals to out-of-work restaurant workers across metro Atlanta. Since we started, we've now served close to 100,000 meals since the end of March to folks from more than 200 restaurants, bars, breweries, hotels, et cetera, across a 20 county area in the metro region.
And the word and the phrase family meal is something special in the restaurant industry. Can you explain that?
Yeah, that's right. So, in restaurants, either before the shift or after the shift, most places have what's called family meal, quote unquote, and it's a quick ritual where the front of house staff, your servers, your bartenders, et cetera, and your back of house staff, your chefs and cooks and dishwashers all get together, sit around in one area, break bread, and have sort of a humble meal and enjoy each other's company and really kind of bond as a family. And so that moment is just a hugely significant part of the day for most places. And we wanted to sort of honor that concept with the work that we're doing, even if we're not, you know, all in one place at one time. So we're ultimately doing the same thing. We're feeding each other and we're supporting each other, but the model is just a little different based on the circumstances.
Right. And the spirit of that family meal is a true kind of family community experience, right? This is a time when maybe people who are doing different roles in the restaurant all get together in one place. They all share a meal. It's very symbolic, and it's very kind of an opportunity to bond in ways that maybe you don't during the course while you're just kind of in the mix doing your work every day.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, without getting in the weeds, servers and bartenders, like they're going to be kind of tied up with other stuff. And during a shift, they don't have a ton of opportunity to interact with the cooks in the kitchen. Right. And so this is really one of the few moments throughout the day where you can kind of let your hair down, really talk as people and friends and family and have that type of bonding experience, which is really important when you're really going to battle every night in a busy restaurant.
And then you took that concept and kind of created this family meal experience, or trying to incorporate the spirit of that to help the folks, because the hospitality industry has been hit extremely hard because of the pandemic. And this is an opportunity to give back to those folks who are struggling right now.
That's exactly right. I mean, that was one of the huge catalysts for getting this going in the first place, is just having the realization that there's roughly 300,000 hospitality workers in the metro Atlanta area. And I kind of saw something like this coming, not, you know, months in advance, but a couple of weeks in advance. And it really dawned on me that if most of the restaurants are closed and we've got 300,000 people in the metro area that are already living paycheck to paycheck in our industry, for the most part, that's a huge potential humanitarian crisis on our hands. And that's just a ton of people that are going to need food and support and all sorts of things. And so was a huge motivator to mobilize and try to get as many people involved as possible so that we could help feed and support the folks that feed the community on a daily basis.
Now, Atlanta, I don't know much about the hospitality industry, but I know the business community as a whole is pretty collaborative, and they kind of rise up for these situations. Is that how it was when you were kind of gathering allies and maybe competitors of yours, other restaurant owners? I don't know if you see each other as competitors, but other folks in the industry, were they, was that an easy sell for them to get involved?
Yeah, so that's exactly right. I mean, the outpouring of support and interest in what we were doing immediately is pretty astonishing, to be honest. One of the first people I reached out to, really just with the idea, it wasn't a plan or anything, was Karen Bremer, who's the CEO of the Georgia Restaurant Association. And this was like a week and a half before we and tons of other restaurants temporarily closed. This was like early March, and gave her a rundown of the idea. And she was like, "Hey, we need to start telling people about this right now." And so she started setting the table with calls to all sorts of folks, and had probably a dozen calls that week, just kind of laying the foundation and galvanizing support. And so from that point forward, once things really tipped over the edge and tons of restaurants were closing, then it was really a matter of just getting to work. And so within the first couple of weeks, I think we ramped up and had six or seven other restaurants that jumped on board pretty quickly in sequence. And since we started, we've now worked with 10 different restaurants for the program. So it's been really, yeah, inspiring to watch. And I think competition went out the window a long time ago.
And that's a great example of how businesses leverage associations in their industry, where everybody can work together. And, you know, 1 + 1 = 3 at that point. You know, you're getting a kind of a multiplier effect when you can bring in some leverage with organizations like that, that have contacts within the industry, plus at the, you know, the vendor level, like you're able to touch a lot more people, probably more efficiently and quicker.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that frankly just helped speed up the process tremendously, connecting those dots. Cause it was a matter of just getting restaurants on board, getting vendors on board, and then building up the infrastructure as quickly as we could to do outreach and make sure we're getting food to the right place.
Now, had you ever kind of worked on a nonprofit at this level before? I mean, I'm sure you've been involved and donated stuff, but like forming one and doing all kind of the nuts and bolts of creating an organization?
That's absolutely a big no. This is the first go of it for me in terms of starting a nonprofit. I will say I was a small business lawyer for about a year before getting into the restaurant business. And that's not something I wear on my sleeve. And I frankly wasn't very good at it, but kind of rifled through the cobwebs of my legal background to kind of help get things going a little bit on the front end. But it was really just kind of raw instinct and just feeling this overwhelming need to step up to the plate and make something happen and just kind of figure it out along the way. And I'm really grateful for the tons of people that played a small and large role helping to bring this together, particularly during that second half of March where things were really going haywire in all directions.
Now, when you had the idea, how long was it between having the idea and then kind of seeing some clues or breadcrumbs that, hey, this is something that really can happen? It doesn't have to just be an idea in my head.
Really not very long, like maybe a week or two. And the way the idea came to be to begin with was around the end of February. I had a chance encounter, bumped into a friend from high school, hadn't seen in a long time, who had been in Hong Kong for the last 10 or 15 years with business. And he'd moved back just you know a few weeks prior to get away from the quarantines and what was happening over there. And his sort of boots on the ground account of what was happening really kind of flipped the switch for me in terms of going from, you know, this might happen to this is absolutely going to happen in Atlanta. And there hadn't been a ton of cases that had broken out in the US at that point. So I was really just racking my brain around, okay, well, what do we do if we end up needing to close our restaurants and there's not a lot of good options there. So I kind of just went a few steps past that and said, at some point, it's not about the business. It's like, what resources do we have at our disposal and how can we put those to good use, particularly if there's this colossal problem that needs immediate attention. So it really just went from idea to action within maybe 2 weeks.
Wow. That was just that serendipity of running into that person really was a game changer for this, right?
Yeah. I mean, that really helped set the table, and I probably would have been a little bit more flat footed had I not run into my friend William. So very serendipitous, like you said.
Now, when you're kind of working on this project and you're helping the folks, how does it logistically work? Like, say I work at a restaurant and I'm in need, how do I get involved in and participate as kind of a beneficiary of the work you're doing?
Sure. So when we first got going, within the first week and a half, I reached out to a friend of mine who's in the tech space and was like, hey, in order for us to really scale this, we need some tech and logistics support. And that's just way out of my strike zone. So if you know anybody, please let me know. And he introduced me to his cousins and they jumped in full throttle and built up a platform for us so that we could then reach out to restaurant owners or hospitality business owners or general managers who then have access to their entire roster of staff with a click of a button, and we could then share with those top leaders a really simple form that they could then disseminate within 30 seconds to their entire staff in English and in Spanish, and then their staff from there can opt in or opt out. And so that process allowed us to really quickly get up to 200 plus businesses sharing this with their staff and then having their staff, some of their staff opt in, and have kept that process going since we started. And the way it works beyond that is it's primarily done through text channels. So if people are moving around or their needs change, it's much more likely to get a response since it's a text and not an email. But yeah, it's been pretty effective for us and helped us stay nimble. And, we're not quite to a place where we can just open the floodgates and say, hey, anybody, anywhere who was or is in the hospitality industry and who's out of work and experiencing food insecurity, just reach out and you can start, participating in the program. Cause that would pretty quickly overwhelm our infrastructure and resources. But we're trying to continue to figure out how do we expand our reach methodically, and kind of keep pushing one foot down the road.
So now if I'm the recipient, I opt in and then I get a text and say, this food is available in this location. And then I go there. Like, how do I get actually food and what kind of food am I getting?
Right. So you're getting restaurant quality meals. One of the longer standing restaurant partners with us is Willie's, the burrito chain. And it's the same type of food you'd get if you walked in the door of the restaurant. So the way we built up the platform again was thinking about if people are A, out of work and not receiving paychecks, it seems, to me, it would seem better for them to be able to deliver to their doorstep as opposed to asking them to come somewhere that may or may not be close to their home,
right,
to get food. And so this was especially true when there was more kind of hard-handed lockdowns going on. And so the core model was, if we can make the meals out of the restaurants, each recipient and their family can get 6 meals a week, and we'll do a single drop off per household using Zifty and Lyft. And so we've been doing all the delivery route mapping and have built it up in such a way that instead of it being a one-to-one delivery where the delivery driver will make the delivery, come back, pick something else up, and then go back out, they're doing 10 deliveries in sequence, and we've optimized the route so that they're all kind of tight clusters, like a postal service route.
Right.
And that's given us the ability to again, that's another driver for us to scale so that we can quickly and efficiently do over 1,000 deliveries a week across a pretty wide geographic range, while at the same time doing each delivery pretty quickly.
Has any other cities reached out to you to say, hey, can we just borrow your infrastructure and plug it in a different market?
So we have, short answer is yes. The longer answer is we have some behind the scenes conversations going on that I'm not really in a position to talk about right now, just based on the,
right. I understand
the work in progress,
right.
Yeah, haven't actually transitioned the platform to any other cities or markets yet, but that's something that we are having some conversations about.
Now, so what is with this $2 million donation? Somebody forked over $2 million, or how did that come about?
Yeah, so like I said, we started in middle of March and formed our 501c3 toward the end of the month. And the first month and a half, I'd say most of our work was fueled by donations from local food purveyors, like and really the big guys like Sysco, US Foods, Athena Farms, because they had full walk-ins of product that they had ordered with the thought that restaurants were going to be buying from them. And right. That just didn't materialize based on all the restaurants closed. And so that ended up helping kickstart us quite a bit. But as you can imagine, fundraising for a nonprofit startup during a pandemic is not as easy as it sounds. So we had some luck and were very fortunate to get some donations here and there from the beginning and then on into May and a little bit into June. But our output was kind of ratcheting up as our funds were dwindling. And really out of the blue, toward the end of June, we miraculously got a donation from a local family for $2 million. And they've asked to remain anonymous. But it honestly came out of the blue. These weren't folks that I was targeting or reaching out to or anything. And, was really extraordinary in terms of the generosity and the, support and what it means for us organizationally, but also the work it's going to enable us to do. The last thing I'll say about the gift is the donors gave it in honor of 2 servers at a local restaurant where they've been regulars for a while and have developed a special relationship with these servers. And so that was kind of the icing on the cake in terms of how significant and just meaningful top to bottom this gift was for them and for us.
And it's a reminder that all those interactions that you might take for granted that are small, they add up over time, especially, and they compound. And this is an example where two servers doing their job well made an impact on somebody that said, hey, I'm going to write a $2 million check and help more people. So everybody's important in this ecosystem, and it's important to not forget that.
Absolutely.
Now, how can regular folks get involved? What do you need right now?
Yeah, we are in the process of mapping out our 12-month strategic plan as we speak, and are continuing the core work that we've been doing thus far. We are starting to layer on some additional programs with some partner organizations around town. Like we're about to start doing something with the Atlanta Community Food Bank. And so we're working on building up a volunteer program and should have some more information about that in the next couple of weeks. So I would encourage folks to stay tuned on that front and generally just keep tabs on our website. You can sign up for our newsletter there. We also have Instagram and Facebook, and you can follow us there. And then last but not least, our website's also a great place to make a donation. We generally, it costs $5 per meal for us to supply meals to folks in our network. And so a small donation of $20 can go towards 4 meals. And we're super grateful for any support people are willing to provide.
Now, tell me about this auction you got, this online auction that's coming up.
So we technically haven't made any announcements about it yet. We're going to do kind of a big blast beginning of September, but it's called Feed the Fam, and it's going to be like a big virtual event with a bunch of chefs and music from local musicians and artists. And we're really trying to highlight the intersection where food, art, music, and community all come together. Since the hospitality world is a big job source for folks in creative pursuits where they want to be, you know, a famous musician or artist or what have you, but they're waiting tables or bartending to help keep the lights on while they're pursuing their dreams. So wanting to just paint the picture that the hospitality business has been hit super hard and has high unemployment rates, but there's also these other really important industries for our culture and community that have been hit equally hard, and there's a lot of overlap. So a lot of stories to tell. But yeah, we've got some fun stuff lined up for the event, and it's going to be streaming on a number of platforms, our website, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and it's going to be the first weekend of October. So much more information to share in the coming weeks, but really excited to offer that to the Atlanta community as well.
And then if they go to atlfamilymeal.org, they can subscribe and then be notified. Or if they like you on Facebook, that page on Facebook, things like that, then they'll get the heads up when the event is.
Yeah, exactly. We're doing a big announcement first week of September, and are going to have a ton of info pumping out all really the month of September up to the event in October. So yeah, would encourage folks to keep tabs on all this if they're interested through our website, email newsletter, social media, etc.
Good stuff. Well, Michael, thank you so much for sharing your story, and we appreciate the important work you're doing.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right, this is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, this work could not be done without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.